friends. I'm your host, Meryl, and I want to welcome you to episode 3 of The Story of Captain Charlotte. Last time on The Story of Captain Charlotte, we met Charlotte 10 years after her mother's disappearance. Her island was attacked by pirates. After that, her father went missing, and the pirates took Charlotte's precious patchwork bear to boot. But Charlotte got revenge on the pirates by setting their ship aflame while it was empty. She even got her bear back. But her father's still missing. Let's see what happens next, after a short break.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Story of Captain Charlotte, Chapter 3, The Star Egg. Charlotte returned to Carbane Island and was horrified by the state of it. The fires had decimated almost every home, including her own. Only a few charred walls remained standing. Not only was her father gone, but so were all of her clothes and worldly possessions. Except, of course, for the fishing boat and everything on it. While Charlotte's neighbors and friends tried to gather what was left of their lives from the ashes, she sought shelter on her boat. Charlotte was exhausted from chasing pirates all night. As she laid her head down to rest, a thought occurred to her.
If this compass reveals the direction of threats and things I'm tracking, maybe it can help me find my father. Or even my mother.
Charlotte held the compass tight and focused on her father. She waited for that feeling, the one that showed her the way, but it didn't come. She tried the same with her mother, but that attempt also failed. With a sigh, Charlotte closed her eyes and went to sleep. The next morning, a ray of sunlight pierced the small fishing boat's window. Charlotte's eyes fluttered open, and she noticed the light hitting her bear, which was clutched in her arm. From within the bear's torn-open stomach, where the pirates had thrown a knife, Charlotte saw a green glow. She reached into the bear. Past some stray stuffing, Charlotte felt something hard and smooth. She removed the unexpected object, which she discovered was bright green and egg-shaped. Charlotte climbed topside and held the glassy green egg up into the light. In it, she saw several gleaming stars sparkling within the egg.
Mama must have left this for me. But why?
Her first thought was that the egg was some kind of map. Charlotte could read a map backwards and forwards, but had never seen this kind of star map before. But she knew someone who probably had. During her travels with her father, Charlotte met a cartographer. He used to sell maps outside a restaurant they sold fish to. The island was called Mercantile Island, and the cartographer's name was Jonas Carver. She set sail immediately. When Charlotte arrived on Mercantile Island, she didn't see Carver outside the restaurant as she expected. She thought someone inside might be able to help her find the map maker, and if not, she could at least get something to eat. Charlotte sat at the bar,
The owner approached with a huge smile on her face.
Charlotte, my girl, have you come to dine for once?
I have. Give me the cod, please.
Before Charlotte could ask about Carver, the restaurant door burst open.
Please, somebody help me! My boat's been stolen and my son was on board!
Everyone in the restaurant ignored the poor fisherman. They knew he couldn't pay them for their help and they had other things to worry about. But the fisherman reminded Charlotte of her father, so she waved him over.
Tell me what happened.
My son Pinnock and me were pulling up our catch when, out of nowhere, something hit me upside the head. I got knocked overboard. Last thing I saw was my boat sailing away. I didn't see my son in the water. They must have took him.
Where were you?
The fisherman pulled out a map and unrolled it on the bar. He then took a candle and spilled some wax on the map.
There. They were sailing east, I think.
All right. I'll find him.
Don't you know how many islands are out there? They could be anywhere.
I'll figure it out.
Charlotte took the map and ran down to her boat. She sailed to the location on the map. As she surveyed the horizon, Charlotte felt the compass pull her east. She followed. Before long, she found a fishing boat anchored off the coast of a small island. The boat looked abandoned. Charlotte pulled up beside the boat, tied the two boats together, and climbed aboard. Charlotte unsheathed her new sword, afraid she might encounter the boat thief. When she opened the door to the boat's cabin, she found a boy tied to a chair with a scarf in his mouth. The boy was about the same age as Charlotte, with floppy dark brown hair. His light brown eyes popped open wide at the sight of Charlotte, and he shouted muffled screams at her. Charlotte leapt down into the cabin and pulled the scarf from the boy's mouth.
We have to get out of here. He'll be back any second.
Charlotte untied the boy. Her hands shook a little for fear the boat thief would return and find them. She steadied herself with a deep breath and looked back into the boy's face.
What's your name?
My name's Pinnock. Pinnock Finch.
With Pinnock freed, he and Charlotte climbed out of the boat's cabin and immediately came face to face with Pinnock's captor. His arms, hairy chest, and even bald head were covered in tattoos. A large gold hoop earring dangled from his ear. The earring swung as the scoundrel pulled a sword from his hip. He slashed at Charlotte, and she blocked the strike with her own sword. The bald man struck at Charlotte again and again. With every block, Charlotte was pushed to the stern of the boat. He was too strong, and Charlotte had no swordplay experience. As she stumbled backward, Charlotte's body collided with a barrel full of fish. Charlotte grabbed a fish and threw it in the bald man's face. He staggered back in surprise, and she threw another fish. As he recovered, Charlotte noticed a fishing net above the bald man's head. She sliced at the rope that held the net, hoping it would fall over her attacker, but the rope didn't cut. She tried again, but the rope remained intact.
Ha! I thought those clothes looked familiar. You're dressed like that weaselly little bladesmith from my old crew. No wonder your sword's dull. Probably waiting to be sharpened.
Charlotte looked at the blade and saw that it was, in fact, extremely dull. The bald man closed in on Charlotte, with his particularly sharp sword raised.
You're the one who blew up our ship, ain't ya? I'm gonna enjoy.
The pirate stumbled, dropped his sword, and fell overboard. Pinnock stood shocked with an oar in his hands.
Ah, you filthy scallywags! I'm gonna track you down and feed your bones to wild dogs!
Charlotte ran to address the pirate.
Where's my father?
How should I know?
Your ship took him when you attacked Carbane Island.
The Ash Dragon don't take no prisoners. They ate too much. Either he fled like a coward, or he's resting in the deep. Like you're gonna be when I catch up with you.
That'll be hard without a boat. Come on, Pin.
Pinnock raised the fishing boat's sail. Charlotte grabbed the pirate's fallen sword, leapt back into her boat, and cut the ropes that connected the two boats. As they sailed away, the pirate shouted incoherent curses and threats at Charlotte and Pinnock. Pinnock's father met them at the dock on Mercantile Island. He ran to his son and hugged him tight.
You saved my son. I don't have much, but please, let me show you my gratitude and appreciation by cooking you a hearty dinner. I insist.
Charlotte was hesitant to stray from her mission. The star-filled egg in her pocket was the only clue she had that led to her mother. But she was hungry, and Pinnock did save her life.
Oh, I would be honored.
Charlotte followed Pinnock and his father to their home, a tall white lighthouse perched upon a tiny rocky island. Inside, the lighthouse was filled with trophies and medals. What are all these awards from?
Oh, they're from another life.
Pinnock's father moved into the kitchen to prepare their meal.
My parents used to race ships. As you can see, they were pretty successful.
Why'd they stop?
After I was born, I think they realized bouncing from race to race was impossible with a baby. So they bought this lighthouse, started fishing on the side to make extra money.
What happened to your mother? Pinnock's gaze fell. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up bad memories. My mother disappeared when I was 8. You don't have to tell me anything you don't feel like.
No, it's just, I don't like to talk about it in front of my dad. She got really sick a few years back, out of nowhere. We tried everything to save her, but she didn't make it. He feels like it's his fault. Like he didn't do enough.
I'm sure that isn't true. I'm sorry you lost her. Pinnock's father emerged from the kitchen with a full platter of freshly grilled fish, just like Charlotte's parents used to make on special occasions. The scent of butter and rosemary wafted through the air and reminded her of happier times.
You have to tell me, how did you manage to find my son in that vast ocean? He could have been anywhere.
Charlotte trusted Pinnock and his father, but didn't want to reveal that the mysterious compass around her neck led the way. The less people who knew about the artifact's power, the better.
Just lucky, I guess.
Well, lucky or not, you saved my son, for which I am eternally grateful. Wait here.
Pinnock's father left the table. He returned dragging a huge and beautiful wooden chest. He dropped the chest beside Charlotte.
Open it!
Charlotte opened the box. Inside, she found a full set of beautiful crimson sails, folded neatly and in perfect condition.
These are from my racing days. They're the fastest sails on the sea. Won so many races, people started to think they were enchanted. When I retired from racing, I sold my ship and everything on it, but I couldn't part with these.
Oh, they're magnificent.
I'm glad you think so, because I want you to have them.
No, I can't. They belong with you.
Charlotte, these sails shouldn't sit in a dusty old chest. They should be flown. I can't think of anyone else more worthy to have them.
But these are for a racing ship, and I just have a small fishing boat.
You'll have a ship someday, Captain Charlotte.
Thank you for your confidence, but I'm hardly a captain.
Do you skipper a boat?
Yes.
Did you heroically save my son from a scoundrel?
I suppose I did.
Do you have a crew?
Actually,
Yes.
What do you mean? It's just me out there.
Then let me be your first crew member. I can't think of a better way to repay your kindness, and no better captain under which to serve. Dad, I don't know if you know this, but I've always longed for a life of adventure on the high seas like you and Mom used to have. And I'm a good sailor to boot.
Huh! Marvelous!
Pinnock's father left the table again and returned with a brown leather tricorn hat. He put it on Charlotte's head, and it fit perfectly.
Oh! I accept.
Charlotte and Pinnock raised two of the sails gifted to Charlotte by Pinnock's father. Her little boat was far too small to use all the sails, but even just the two sails were a clear upgrade from her old, ragged sheets. Charlotte and Pinnock sailed back to Mercantile Island. During their trip, Charlotte filled Pinnock in on her father's disappearance, the pirates, and the Star Egg. Pinnock listened in awe. Upon their arrival, Charlotte and Pinnock asked around about the cartographer, Jonas Carver. Eventually, they learned that he lived in a small hut on the other side of the island. When they arrived at the hut, the place was surrounded by old telescopes, rain-soaked maps, rusted compasses, and other junk. Charlotte knocked on the door.
What is it?
We need your help. I have a map. A strange map inside of an egg. It's made of stars. Please.
The broken wooden door shot open. A short, wide-eyed man with a nest of curly blonde hair stood inside. Jonas Carver didn't look like Charlotte remembered. He never seemed so unhinged.
An egg full of stars? Sounds like a star map. Let me see.
Charlotte handed Carver the egg, and he held it up to the light.
Ah, yes, a star map. I haven't seen one of these in ages. You aren't trying to sell it, are you? I can pay you in maps. Maps to fill a lifetime with adventure and treasure.
No, thank you. We just need to know where it leads.
Well, that I can't help you with. Goodbye.
Wait! Why can't you help us? Aren't you a master cartographer?
Yes, but I am not a master astrologer. That's what you need.
Where are we supposed to find a master astrologer?
The only master astrologer I know of lives in a village high at the top of a mountain on an island called Viceroy.
I don't know that island. Can you show us where it is?
One moment. Here.
Charlotte reached for the rolled-up map that Jonas Carver held out, but he pulled it away.
Nothing's free in life, sister! But I'll give you a discount since you showed me that egg. 1 shilling.
Deal.
Charlotte handed the coin to Carver and took the map.
Will that be all, or do you want me to sail you there, too?
No, that's all. Thank you, Master.
When they returned to their boat, Charlotte opened the map Carver gave them. It was exquisitely hand-drawn. They set off immediately for Viceroy Island. As they closed in on the island, a loud shriek reverberated through their tiny boat.
Captain? What was that?
Ice ran through Charlotte's veins at the sound. But before Charlotte could respond, Viceroy Island came into view, and they had their answer. Flying through the air and perched all over the island were scores of enormous purple dragons.
Dragons?
I don't know about you, but I freaking love dragons.
I can't wait to see where the star egg leads Charlotte and how it might connect to her mother. If you can't wait to hear what happens next, be sure to follow our feed wherever you listen to podcasts so you'll be notified when Chapter 4 is available. We dropped the first 3 episodes together, but from here on, we'll be releasing new episodes every Wednesday. The story of Captain Charlotte is written, produced, and performed by Meryl Opsahl and Mark Opsahl. For updates and behind-the-scenes fun, follow us on TikTok at Story of Captain Charlotte and on Instagram at The Story of Captain Charlotte. If you're inspired by our story and would like us to post your drawings of Captain Charlotte, or for questions or media inquiries, you can email us at thestoryofcaptaincharlotte@gmail.com. If you want more from us, check out Mark's debut novel, Lifecast, which was named one of the 100 best indie books of 2022 by Kirkus Reviews and was a semi-finalist for the 2022 Book Life Prize. We'll include a link in the show notes. See you next time!
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.